God is good. And if you were listening to the manifestations, especially Kip's at the end, his first line was, take your focus off yourself and put it on me. Right? That's what I'm teaching. And I have down here, where to focus. That's my title. That kind of gives you chills, doesn't it? Should you think about it? So you can take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. The great purpose in life, we learn from the Word, is that we are to respect and be in reverence of God and to keep His Word. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes 12:13. It says that's the real purpose of life, that we're to respect God and to keep His Word. Jesus Christ phrased it another way, or however you want to put it, in response to a question from a Pharisee who said, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus Christ said, the first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And then he added, and to love thy neighbor as thyself, you know, which the world has taken bastardized into the golden rule, which they used to teach in school, which you know, now is probably banned.
Yeah.
But you know, but again, it's God is first. Where's our focus to be? It's on God. And notice when Jesus Christ said this, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Love thy neighbor as thyself." Thyself is third, or it's last on the list. It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Many times, or sometimes, we may get that priority a little backwards. And in the world, they always have it backwards. Because in the world, it's always me, 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 and I. And it's a very selfish world. And they have very little regard. They may have regard for other people sometimes, you know, humanism, so-called. I never could get why people that cared for animals was called the Humane Society. But anyway, just kind of boggled my mind a little bit. But the world has really little or no regard for God, and he's supposed to be first. He's the creator. So, in many words and with many phrases and many illustrations, God shows us and tells us to put him first in our thoughts, in our hearts, and in our actions. In Matthew 6, verse 19. And why is this important? Well, you know, we all have needs, we all have desires, and we all have difficulties at times. And a lot of times what the devil wants to do is he wants to present you with something, you know, either negatively or positively, to take your mind off of God, to take your focus off of God. And that's especially true when it's a negative situation. You know, what am I going to do about this situation? How am I going to get better? You know, how am I going to take care of this bill? How am I going to fix this? How am I going to do that? And, you know, then that brings on anxiety and stress and everything else. We're to be focused on God first. Now, that's where our focus is supposed to be. So in verse chapter 6, verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's a tough verse to read for moth and doth. And okay. A lot of you know this relates to an Orientalism or an Oriental idiom. it's obviously
bing.
It's not obviously it's not literal. Treasures refer to your thoughts. And it's interesting. It's interesting that the Bible refers to our thoughts as treasures, because in our society, in our culture, thoughts are not always so highly regarded, because we have zillions of thoughts, right? And the world throws things at you. Think about this and think about that and so on. And, you know, honestly, most of them, 90% of them are trivial. Not very important. So it says, lay up for yourselves treasures or your thoughts, or lay not up your treasures or your thoughts upon the earth, meaning material things, physical things, the world, the physical world, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through to steal. And moth and rust and stealing refers to worry and anxiety and fear and doubt. Bishop Pillay translates verse 19 as, let not your thoughts be centered in material things, where fears and worries breed defeat and frustration, and where the doubts break through and steal your thoughts. Okay, should I read that again?
Yeah.
Okay. Let not your thoughts be centered in material things, where fears and worries breed defeat and frustration, and where the doubts break through and steal your thoughts. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, treasures are understood to be thoughts, and that's what God thinks of them. They're important. Our thoughts are really important. And, you know, Bishop Pillay, a lot of you may not know him, or some of you may not know him, but you can get his book. It's called Orientalisms in the Bible. And he had another one, Light Through an Eastern Window. And he goes through the Bible and he gives us different things from the biblical culture and times and idioms. But one of the things we learn in Eastern culture is they have a very different mindset, or they did. I'm sure now they're getting more westernized as, you know, modern technology takes over the world and infects it. Can improve it, but a lot of times it infects it, doesn't it? And they learn to control their minds more than we do. You know, they're taught mental discipline. And that's what we need to do. We need to have mental discipline to control our thoughts and take care of our thoughts. Our thoughts are not to be focused on physical things or the things of the world, but on heaven. Who's in heaven?
God,
which means, you know, again, that's an idiom or a figure, meaning heaven represents where God lives, and so our thoughts are to be focused on God. God resides there with his Son, Jesus Christ, who's seated at his right hand. Then it says in verse 20 again, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Put your thoughts on godly things. Godly things. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through to steal. You know, the more you put your thoughts on God and godly things, the less you're going to have anxiety and fear and worry and doubt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now that's really important. Where your thoughts are, where your treasures are, where your thoughts are, that's where your heart will be. And your heart, meaning the center of your mind, the thing that makes you you, you. Greg Earle did a great teaching lesson. He's been teaching on life and death, and he explained soul life and spirit life. And it was really one of the best explanations I've ever heard. But, you know, when we die, We have Holy Spirit. Well, that Spirit belongs to God. It's a token. It says in Ephesians and other places that Spirit is a token. And when we die, that Spirit goes back to God. What makes us is in our soul life, right? That's your personality, your being. And that goes to sleep, or that dies when you die, when you fall asleep. You know, that soul life is... What do they say when your computer is what? It's asleep, right? What do they call it? That's the term. You know, it's asleep, and then you hit the button, and it comes back to life. Well, when God hits the button, and Jesus Christ comes to gather us together, all those that are dead in Christ come back to life. You know, and then that you have that soul life. You are you. That's who you are. You know, but we are to focus our thoughts on heavenly things. On godly things. That's where your heart will be. And what comes from the heart? What issues from the heart? The things of life, the issues of life come from the heart. And that's where we believe. That's where we really believe. You know, it's not just the thing in your brain, but it's in the depths of your being when you believe. So that's very important. Let's go to Matthew 12. We're going to come back to 6, so don't lose it. I mean, it's not going anywhere, but we'll just have to find it. It says in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasures or thoughts of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. Okay, the word heart there is omitted in some of the Greek texts. But the point is that a good man has good thoughts. And when you have good thoughts, good things come out of it. What's the definition of good? You
know, gracious God's word.
Stuff from God. You know, godly thoughts are good. It's just like good works. What are good works? Well, they're whatever God directs you to do. You know, if he directs you to clean the house, that's a good work. If he tells you to go speak the word to somebody, that's a good work. If you study good works in the Bible and you read about Jesus Christ, he's the definition of good works. He did what God told him to do. So we see the importance of thoughts. You know, the importance of thoughts, you know. And many times, you know, we have time where we're not really doing anything important, but what about your brain? What's it doing? Mm-hmm. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. So God wants us to put him first in our thoughts, in our hearts, and in our actions. And again, many different words, phrases, illustrations show us that when we do this, we are blessed. It is the way that God set it up. Chapter 8 and verse 32. It says here, okay. So one of the ways that helps us to put our thoughts on God and keep him in the right place is to recognize how loving, how caring, and how giving he is, and what he's done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. And as we build that in our hearts and our minds, it becomes easier and more exciting to focus on God. You know, if you think God is up there waiting to look and punish you every time you make a mistake, you're not going to want to keep him in your thoughts, are you? You know, but if you're looking to God as a loving father, as a giving father, as one who just cares for you and wants to do the best for you, then you want to keep your thoughts there. Mm-hmm. Romans 8, verse 32, it says, he, referring to God, that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, when you think about that verse and you think, wow, He was willing to go the whole way to the nth degree to save us. Right? He didn't spare his own son. I could honestly say that probably there are times when I would give my life for somebody. You know, there are great examples in history and you know, literature and where people have given their lives for other people. But there are not really many instances where somebody would give up their child for another person. Just not the way it is. You know, people give up their lives for their children. But you know, you don't want your children to give up their lives for you. So then in John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So again, you know, we see that God is what? A loving God and a giving God. That's what God is all about. He's a loving God and giving God. So why wouldn't you want to focus your thoughts on him instead of the dopey stuff? You know, the stuff that brings about fear and anxiety. Romans chapter 5. So, like we heard in Matt's station, take your focus off yourself and put it on God. God said it very simply and very straightforward. It says in verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, and again, you think about that verse, you think about it, you put it in your brain and you go, wow, God sent his son, he didn't spare him, but he sent him to die for us. And he did it not because we were so great or because we did anything to earn it, but because he loved us. You know, we were yet sinners. You know, not we weren't born yet, but in his foreknowledge, he knew that people would be born and they would be born with sin nature, but they would have the opportunity to believe and get born again and be redeemed. And it goes, much more than being now just justified by his blood, or made righteous by his blood, however you want to say it, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Wrath is judgment. That's what it refers to, the judgment of God in the end times. We're saved from the wrath. It says that numerous places in the church epistles. We are saved from the judgment. That's pretty great. For if, verse 10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So, you know, when Jesus Christ died, even though we were enemies, that removed that. That wall between us and God was removed with the death of Christ. You know, so we were reconciled. We were brought back together with God. It says, but even more than being reconciled, we are saved by his life because he was raised from the dead so that we have salvation, we have wholeness, and we have eternal life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or the reconciliation. You know, we have been brought together with God. We're back in agreement with God. God did that for us. Nobody held a gun to his head. Nobody held a knife to his throat. Nobody cajoled him and persuaded him. He did it just because he's God. So why wouldn't you want to have godly thoughts? Why wouldn't you want to have God first in your mind, in your life? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. God first, you second, me third. It's a great way to think about it. actually a guy wrote a book. It was titled that. A football player. Who happened to be a believer. Okay, let's go to Lamentations. Lamentations, where is that?
In the clean part.
Yeah. Right before Ezekiel and right after Jeremiah. Lamentation, not very big or very long. Chapter 3. You're right, it is the clean part. Lamentations 3. And what does Lamentations mean? Yeah, it's Lamentation Jeremiah. It was Lamentations. It means, you know, the sadness, struggles, yeah. Verse 21 says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassion failed not." You know, if we were judged according to our works and because of our merit, would be what? Consumed. Gone. Lost. But it's because of God's mercies and compassion. And God's compassion fails not. It doesn't fail. The word compassion there can mean tender mercies. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't that in the song? His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. You know, my expectation is towards God. No matter what my situation in life, no matter what I do, my expectation is that God's there for me. If you've ever been in a difficult or dire situation and that God was there, it's different than when you don't know he's there, right? I can say, you know, with great joy that there have been times when I faced difficult situations and I just knew God was there for me. He would not forsake me. He would not let me down. The Lord is good, verse 25. Unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. That's kind of neat. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And you know, sometimes we have a situation and we need help and we think, okay, God, where is it? How come it just didn't happen like that? God doesn't always work like that, does he? Sometimes he has to work through things, or sometimes he has to get us to the place where we can actually really believe. You know, because sometimes just because we have a problem and we pray, it doesn't mean we're believing. So then we have to get our brain functioning properly and our heart in the right place. But God also has timing, and sometimes we think that the answer to a problem or a situation should be A, and God says, well, it's really H. You know, and we can't see it or imagine it. But sometimes his solutions and his deliverance are just nothing we could possibly expect. And how many times in the Bible have we seen illustrations of that? You know, Israel was being attacked, and God says, okay, send the army out and put the musicians in front. And they play a song, and then the enemy turns on each other. Right? Or with Gideon, you know, he says, okay, get an army. He gets 30,000. He ends up with 300. Now, that was not, I'm sure, in Gideon's thinking. You know? And that's the way God is. He delivers us his way, and we just need to be accepting of that and expecting it, but not be over anxious or impatient. That you just stick with God. You don't let yourself get distracted or deterred that God is going to take care of you. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. God spared not his own son, and Jesus Christ was so willing to do everything that was necessary. And you know, when he was in the garden, what did he say? He said, God, is there any other way? And God said, no. And he said, okay, I'll do it. How great is that? 103, verse 10. He that hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Well, let's read verse 8. I said 10. Now, let's start at 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always try, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He doesn't give you a fine. He doesn't put points against you. I was talking to Stella's sister. She works at the casino, and if she calls in, she gets a point. And you get so many points, and then every month the point. It's like getting a speeding ticket, right? Yeah, she calls out. If you get a speeding ticket, you get so many points on your record, and then it's 6 months or a year before the points come off, right? Mm-hmm. God's not like that. He doesn't do that. He doesn't have a little scoreboard where he marks, puts marks against you or marks for you. He gives us rewards when we do what we're supposed to do. He gives us rewards, but he doesn't give us demerits. You know, we don't ever have to stay out of school, after school. We don't ever have, what do they call it?
Detention.
Didn't you just love this? She knows. See, that's so far removed from my brain. But I had a few. Okay. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far that he hath removed our truth. Let's see. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And how far is the east from the west? They never meet. It just keeps going around. You know, the North Pole and the South Pole, you get to the North Pole, and then you start moving, you're going south. When you get to the South Pole, you start moving, you're going north. But when you're going east, you're always going east. And when you're going west, you're always going west. It's a mind-boggler when you think of that. But it's true. Like a father, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And the word pitieth there is loves. He loves those that respect him, that revere him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children, such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. You know, and we know that we have. Now, this is written in Psalms, and it's written to people that were not born again, but we know that we have eternal life. So, you know, it goes on forever and ever for us. There is no end. What a cool thing that is. So let's go back to Matthew 6. So we have a Father that loves us to the utmost. He sent his only begotten Son to redeem us, paying the utmost price. And when you love somebody, you want to bless, you want to give, you want to love them back. And where does it begin?
In the heart.
In your mind and then in your heart, right? That's where it begins. That's why our thoughts are so precious. You know, what is it? What is, you know, we learn that love, first and foremost, is not an emotion like the world teaches, but it's a decision and a commitment. So what does it take to love God? A decision and a commitment. And then he says that we are to keep our thoughts on him. So if we desire to do our best for him, that's what we need to do. So Matthew 6 again, back to verse 21. For where your treasure is, where your thoughts are, that's where your heart will be also. The light of the body is the eye. Okay, now this is what, you know, a twofold meaning, obviously. Literally, when we open our eyes, the way we see is we see light. And then your light determines, and, you know, I don't know all the technicalities, but the shadows and the light waves and everything, and that's how we see colors and details and all that stuff. When somebody's blind, what happens? It's like a shadow is over their eyes or darkness. They don't register the light. But here, it's also talking about the eye of your mind. It's the eye of your mind. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. You know, if your eye is single or it's whole and it's looking at the right thing, your whole being will be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, when you just look at the things of the world, now, you know, sometimes we look at things in the world and we say, oh, isn't that wonderful? But if it's not godly, it's not godly. You know, some things are probably, I don't know, frivolous, I suppose. But a lot of stuff is not. You know, a lot of stuff is just darkness. And we're not to look at darkness. We're not to have that darkness in our brain. And I mean a physical looking, but, you know, thoughts that we entertain, the thoughts that we allow in or come in uninvited. Why do we have to do that? Kick them out. No man can serve two masters. The word serve there is the word doulos. A doulos was a slave in biblical times. And many times they were slaves by free will. You know, they indentured themselves, what we call them today, indentured servants. They indentured themselves because they wanted to be with this, whoever the master was. So it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve, you know, God and the world. That's what mammon represents, the world. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought, or don't be anxious for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? That's a good question. Is life more than just the food you eat and the clothes on your back? Sure. So, every once in a while, you know, everybody likes to go out to a nice restaurant and have a really good meal, or have their favorite. Okay, but is your body just as nourished if you stay home and eat a more moderate or humble meal? Sure it is. You know, it has nothing to do. Is your body protected by a cashmere coat any more than with a wool coat or something other? And we put so many values on these things. But the life is more than meat and more than body more than raiment. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? you know, if you ever thought about the fowls of the air, but I've thought about, you ever watch these nature shows? Mm-hmm. And they show you the great migrations of animals, and they show you, you know, the food chain and different stuff. And then they say, well, it's, you know, it's because of evolution. And then you think about, how could it possibly all be by accident? You know, it's just impossible. You know, the whales go and they go to a place where they breed, and then they come back to another place where they feed. You know, bears go and they hibernate over the winter. You know, and they do all this different stuff. It's just incredible. And, you know, the birds, where they go and what they do. And, you know, so then the birds eat stuff and then they poop. And then plants grow places where they wouldn't have grown before. You know, it's kind of crazy. You hope it's not in your gutters and stuff. But, you know, God set it all up. And he takes care of those things. And it works. And it continues to work in spite of man many times. I was thinking about deer. You know, we have deer everywhere in Pennsylvania. You know, there's more deer in Pennsylvania today than there were when Columbus landed. Mm-hmm. There is. Because when Columbus landed, it was a forest, a primeval forest. You know, it was, so deer don't live well in forests. Yeah. Plus, there were a lot of predators. Mm-hmm. Now the only predator is man. So we have deer everywhere. They're like rats. Okay. That's dope. Which of you taking thought can add one cubit to your stature and you make yourself taller? And why take ye thought for raiment, your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you of little faith or little believing? Therefore, take no thought. Don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, unbelievers. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And, you know, God just, he says, you know, don't be anxious. You know, I'm here for you. Keep your thoughts on me. Keep looking towards me. The world's going to try to stress you out. It's going to distract you from God. Keep your thoughts on godly things. Have that discipline in your mind to think about God. To make sure you spend time with God every day. That every situation that you have to deal with, take it to God and give it to God. God is the one who has the answers. We don't. So, Father God, we thank you that you are a loving God, a caring God, and that we can put you first, that our whole purpose in life, if we can just get to the point where we really get that into our brain and understand it fully, that the whole purpose of man is to respect and be in awe of you and to keep your commandments. We just thank you, Father, that we can love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That we can live those verses in our hearts. And we thank you in the name of your Son.